And welcome back to Small Town. I'm your host, Matt Gaff. Today we're going to be wrapping up our segment on mentorship. So this is basically who can be involved and some of the examples of how mentorship can be. The different types, different styles. A lot of different people have different ways of learning and teaching. Some have the show-do method. Others have the textbook, you read it. And you just kind of give that information out. So what we're going to do is kind of talk a little bit about some of the different styles that there are. Some people that I look up to as mentors, that either from reading their books, watching their TV or broadcasts, or other issues. So I want to also want to shout out to everyone who's listening. I really do appreciate all of the people that are listening to the podcast and getting something out of it. That was my goal. As long as I can reach one person, that's all worth it to me. I enjoy doing, talking and podcasting and media and tech stuff. If you know me, you'll know I have a whole room full of just computers and cameras and stuff. And in church, I do a lot of the media stuff. So I love doing this stuff, and it keeps me sharp. Because iron sharpens iron, and hopefully with me constantly doing this, it can help you, and it helps me, maintain my skill. So I want to also point out that you can listen to the broadcast. You can see it on faithcast.com to discover other great Christian podcasts just like this one to help you keep the faith. Right now I'm in the comedy one, which is perfect, I hope. I think I'm still the only one in the comedy, so should see it. If not, it's right there. It's a great place. I looked at some of the other podcasts on there, and it's a great great feature there to where you can listen to other people as well. So with that being said, let's go ahead and dive right into the mentorship part two, or dose. So with reaching this, with this week, researching it and everything else, I try to keep my podcasts under the 20-minute mark or 30-minute mark, because most people, after that, you kind of lose people. It's easier for you to listen to it in short segments. So I think this time we're going to talk about the mentorship as far as like people that you think of. The people I think of or I've read would be Spurgeon, Luther, and then also Rogers. Now the Rogers is not the Captain America, even though my son does love Captain America. I love Captain America. He's a great comic book character, and has some really good outstanding qualities. But the Rogers I'm talking about is Fred Rogers from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And I know that seems kind of weird to be like saying, well, Mr. Rogers is a mentor. How is that possible? So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to talk about Fred Rogers first, because he's the most that people don't really think of as a mentor until you really step back, look at what you grew up with, what ideas you were given to when you were young and impressionable, and then realize that, hey, he did have a huge impact on a lot of people's lives. Spurgeon, Luther, Martin Luther, obviously those are big names. So mentorship for that is pretty obvious with where that comes from. But so let's go ahead and let's dive in a little bit with Fred Rogers. So quite frankly, a lot of people don't necessarily see him as a mentor all the time because of him being with a lot of kids. He was a kids show. That's primarily where he focused, because that's where he was. He was a Presbyterian minister with a childhood development degree. So he knew a lot about kid development. And that's, I think, had an impact with a lot of us. Me growing up, I watched his show all the time. You'd be really surprised as far as, those ideas that he had for a show came from him. He sang all of the songs. He wrote the songs. He was just involved with the show immensely. And I think the thing that I liked the most about his show was that he broke it down into very small segments for us to be able to understand as a child. So With that being said, we had episodes where he really broke a lot of barriers that as a child I didn't realize that he was really pushing the mark. Most notably that most people know about is that he had a an African American postal or a police officer, sorry, came and they shared a pool together with their feet to cool down. Simple. As a kid, it's like, oh, okay, that was kind of cool. Don't see any reason why that would be, monumental. But for the grown-ups, that was extremely difficult to watch, I think, for some people, because they weren't grown up with that it should just be normal. And as a kid, I was lucky. My mom and my dad always taught me, it didn't really matter. So for some of us, it was just like nothing special. We were like, oh, okay, yeah, that's what I would do with my neighbor kids, which were Hispanic or whatever. So I think he broke a lot of barriers down, but he also built a lot of kids up. And his favorite thing was to tell kids every time he saw them that they were special. Now I'm not talking about, everybody gets a trophy special or, everybody deserves to win type of special. That's not the kind of special he was talking about. He wanted to let everybody know that they were individual, that God created them uniquely for a purpose, and that purpose was special. And so it wasn't necessarily about, where they came in on the race or where they came in on the basketball court or anything like that. It was more of the fact that you were given a God-given talent and you can use that. It just takes time to figure out what it is. And so he gave a lot of kids a lot of opportunity to see different types of people sharing their gifts. And so that inspired kids to do the same thing. A very good mentor, very good mentor. He's got a bunch of books out that you can read. You can always go back and look at some of his work. They're everywhere on YouTube. You can watch any of his episodes. But I really wanted to spend a lot of time talking about Fred Rogers because I just feel as though his mentorship is needed nowadays more than anything. I think we have a lot of kids that need to know that they are special. They're not first place special. They're special in God's eyes. And that's what we really need to focus on to help with the kids to get them to build up their self-esteem in Christ, not in themselves, but in Christ. And so, with given that, since he was off the air in 2001, we have a huge gap now of people that have not had that Fred Rogers learning style. And so now we have young adults that haven't gotten that message that, hey, you're special in a special way. So let's embrace that. Let's focus on that instead of, did I get a ribbon today? Did I, score so many points? Let's focus on that. So I think we're gonna kind of wrap that up on that aspect of it. And we're going to take a quick commercial break so I can hopefully pay a little bit of bills, keep this thing rolling, and hopefully keep the podcast going. So we'll be right back after this short break. All right, and we are back from our break. I do really appreciate you hanging in there with me on this podcast. This, like I said, is part two of mentorship. So what we're going to do is go ahead and move on to the next two people that I kind of want to talk about. One of it is going to be Spurgeon. So he wrote a lot of books, held a lot of strong convictions. For him as a mentor, he's really going to be onto those holding the beliefs, holding on to reading the Bible, holding yourself accountable to the Bible. So unlike Fred Rogers, where he was trying to help people realize that they had a special talent and trying to nurture that. Spurgeon, on the other hand, can be nurturing, but for the most part, he was trying to get to the point that you need God's grace, you need God's forgiveness, and that without grace, you're not going to heaven. So his whole focus was that we are endowed with sin, we will always have sin, but because of Christ's sacrifice for us, we are saved. So through Christ, we are saved. That's where he was trying to get. Not that we were saved because of our good works, not because we were a good person. That has nothing to do with it. It, you have to believe, and that's what he was focused on, is you have to believe in the fact that you are saved by grace alone. Because of Christ, because he died on the cross and bore our sins, that is the only reason that we are saved. And that's where his mentorship came. You know, he would go over the Bible, he would explain, he would go over this. And so, once again, that's where his mentorship is. A lot of preachers tend to use him as a mentor because of his writings, because of his background. He was such a good public speaker. And so that's where a lot of the mentorship on that one goes. So the other one is going to be a little bit a better known Luther than, though Martin Luther King is a great example. I'm not knocking Martin Luther King. He was a minister. He did a lot of great works. But Luther, Martin Luther, actually had was the one who brought the newer Protestant religion. So a lot of the readings that, like, once again, the preachers and stuff like that, they go over that one. And so he's more of a mentor, kind of like Spurgeon, with the biblical background. So when you look at a mentor, you want to have a lot of aspects. You don't want to just be focusing on one specific thing. And, you know, Fred Rogers did that as well, because he was also a minister himself. So he was also giving out advice such as what Spurgeon was doing, basing his principles off of that for the grown-ups, but he was also focusing on kids. And I think that's what makes it a really great mentor, when you can be well-rounded. No matter who you're around, you can elevate them with knowledge of the Bible, or just self-awareness of what's going on. So why are we discussing these men? Why are we looking at these examples? And the examples are because in a small town, or really any town, you need mentors. And what does mentorship look like in a small town? Well, I'll tell you what. Mentorship is small groups. It's small ministries in the church, small get-togethers. You know, there's a small get-together of guys that meet every morning at a gas station for coffee and donuts. And they talk about the weather. They talk about, you know, farming. They talk about whatever. That's a mentorship. As soon as I retire, probably going to join them. So I got some years to go. But that's a mentorship. And for the church, that's basically, at least from what I feel, is that's what we need it to be as a church, a mentorship. That's how we lead people to Christ. That's how we get people involved. That's how we let people grow. So when you have a church that has multiple programs, that is great. That's signs that they are strong, that we've got a great mentorship, you know, such as Grief Share, Celebrate Recovery, Fight Club, Radiant, Children's and Young Group. And that's really where it comes into it. And you know, it invests everybody into it. Because if you're a volunteer for it, then you're invested in that and you feel proud when it succeeds. When you see that child, or you see that young adult, or you see that person succeed in what you help them with, you get that inner personal, you know, feeling of happiness, because you're happy for them to succeed. And that's how it should be with a mentor. The other thing too is you don't necessarily need to be very aggressive as a mentor. It's not like you need to sit down there, you know, like a parent and be like, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. Sometimes as a mentor, you need to give the advice, spread it all out, show them all of the issues, and then let them try to decide the best option. You can kind of guide with direction as far as, you know, hey, you know, this is what happened in my life when I chose that path that you're kind of looking at. So, you know, if it was me, I'd be more, you know, you've got those types of ways. But as far as mentorship, that's a good sign of a good, strong church. And now with the COVID and everything else, I think that with mentorship, it is so much more necessary, because it shows that, first of all, mentorship can be a one-on-one. So we have a lot of states that have, you can't meet with so many people. Well, mentorship is a small group, 4 or 5 people. So you can keep that distance and still have that connection, because the media can only go so far. This podcast can only go so far. You can hear this message, but you still need to be face-to-face with somebody in order for it to sink in, for you to get that feeling and actually read their face and know if they're getting it or not. And so I think with this is where small groups really need to excel. So I think what we're going to do, I'm going to talk a little bit about this. So Proverbs 12, 26. The righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And that's a warning for us as mentors and for leaders. We need to make sure that we're steadfast in the Bible and that we are steadfast in Christ before we start leading people. If you just start leading with no guidance, no nothing, you don't do devotions, you don't do anything, you're just kind of, going by the seat of your pants. You're going to crash and burn, and you're also going to take people with you, which is not what you need to do. So, I'm not trying to scare people from mentorship, but you do need to have some sort of devotionals. You have to have a background in Christ so that way you're not leading people astray. And then you've got Romans 2:19. And are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. Once again, that's where the leaders have to be in check. You have to know what's going on, and you have to know what's right in the Bible. So once again, not trying to scare people, but the Bible did talk about this because it knew this was going to happen. People were going to try to lead people away from Christ using mentorship or programs similar, but with just a slight difference. So once again, those two verses are about that. And then Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God and the Father. So once again, when you do something, you need to make sure that you're doing it in Christ's name, that you're doing it correctly, that you're doing it for the reason. So when you mentor and you do something for kids, it shouldn't be that, well, I hope one day they repay me, or I'm going to do you a good deed, and then next time I need you to help me out with something. That shouldn't be what it is. So you need to make sure that it's firm in God's grace. So I think that's going to be a wrap-up for mentorship for this. I know it's a two-part series. I'm just going to kind of pray for next week. I kind of do these weekly, just kind of how it rolls, because I feel as though that's how God tends to lead me on things. Mentorship seemed to be in the back of my mind, so I'll kind of see what the week goes, and we'll go from there. Check me out on Instagram or Facebook. I'll probably start posting some things around Wednesday about what I'm thinking of recording and what the message might be about. So once again, I'm on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, YouTube, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast. I'm hoping I'm on Amazon. They tell me I am, so we'll see if I am. But once again, also visit faithcast.com to discover other great Christian podcasts like this one to help keep you in the faith. Check out once again my Facebook. If you have anything, just email me at smalltownwithmattgaff@gmail.com. Couldn't be any easier. If you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe and the notification bell. And other than that, I will see you or talk to you next Monday at 8 a.m. And you have a blessed week.